March 11th starts around one side of the Tigers' net, leaving the puck for his teammate January 4th, who passes it to January 22nd, who flips it back to March 12th, who shoots point-blank at the Tigers' goalie April 27th. April 27th blocks the shot, but it's rebounded by Vancouver's March 6th. He shoots. Medicine Hat defensemen February 9th and February 14th dive to block the puck, while January 10th looks on helplessly. March 6th scores! Let's go to the second period now. Medicine Hat's turn. The Tigers' scoring leader, January 21st, charges down the right side of the ice. He stops and circles, eluding the Vancouver defenseman February 15th. January 21st then deftly passes the puck to his teammate December 20th. Wow, what's he doing out there? Who shrugs off the onrushing defender May 17th and slides a cross-crease pass back to January 21st. He shoots. Vancouver defenseman March 12th dives, trying to block the shot. Vancouver's goalie March 19th lunges, helplessly. January 21st scores. He raises his hands in triumph. His teammate May 2nd jumps on his back with joy. The explanation for this is quite simple. It has nothing to do with astrology or anything magical about the first 3 months of the year. It's simply that in Canada, the eligibility cutoff for age class hockey is January 1st. A boy who turns 10 on January 2nd then could be playing alongside someone who doesn't turn 10 until the end of the year. And at that age, in pre-adolescence, a 12-month gap in age represents an enormous difference in physical maturity. This being Canada, the most hockey-crazed country on earth, coaches start to select players for the traveling rep squad, the all-star teams, at the age of 9 or 10. And of course, they are more likely to view as talented the bigger and more coordinated players who have had the benefit of those extra critical months of maturity.